Hello.
Hello, this is Woody Woodlandsey.
It is.
Good afternoon, sir.
Is that Peter?
Yeah, it is indeed. Told you, I was ferreting around for your number. I'm very sorry to have got lost in the system somewhere. Anyway, how are you, sir?
I'm good, yeah. Sorry that you probably tried to get through a bit earlier. I got a bit carried away.
Oh, well, no, don't worry. I'm late. You got carried away. So we compromised.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good, yeah. So you're keeping well?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, am I the last one of you for you today, or you got some more?
No, I've got up to 6:20 to do.
Oh dear, so we better be as quick as possible. Your musical history goes back a good way, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It does.
Yeah, and when did you, because you're a drummer, I'm always interested in knowing when people start off with the instrument of choice, you know, and whether the drums were your instrument of choice.
They weren't actually, no. I was playing football. Yeah. Good start, yeah.
Yeah.
And was hoping to play for Leeds or something like that, no. Oh. Just playing with four friends.
Yes.
I hadn't really noticed music, to be honest, at that point. But apparently earlier I had been bought a snare drum when I was 4 years old, that my uncles, they didn't like the neighbours we had. So they went out, and the neighbours complained that your little kid is keeping us awake on the night with his drum kit. So they went out and bought me a snare drum, put me in the bedroom, shut the door and said, make as much noise as you want.
Yeah, so you did.
I did, yeah. Apparently I did my early Keith Moon impression.
Oh, right.
Back to the football. Yeah. So we were playing football, and I kicked the ball, and it shot over these big 6-foot-high nettles, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, you kicked it, you fetch it. So I battered all the nettles down, and the ball had landed next to this brick building that I hadn't noticed before.
Yeah.
And it was in front of a silver door, written on in paint, like graffiti type. It just said, The Cave. And I thought, well, and I could hear music really loud coming from in this building.
Yes.
So I shouted, what is this place? You know, I thought it was a big transistor radio or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he said, oh, it's my brother who's in a rhythm and blues band, and they're practicing in there. So I said, can I go in and listen? And he said, no, you don't get in there unless you're really pretty and you've got a skirt on. So I said, yeah, thanks a lot. So for 2 weeks, finally they said, you can come in and watch two songs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went in, and it was smelly and dark, and there was just one red bulb.
Yeah.
And this band played, they were called the Roadrunners. And they were a semi-pro band.
Yeah.
And they played Howlin' Wolf's track, was it Smokestack Lightning?
Oh, right.
And they played Off the Hook by the Stones. And it just blew me away. I'd never seen a live band at that time before.
Right. Yeah.
So I just went out and said, we've got to put a band together. So we got a school band together with my mates.
Yeah.
And that was it. Oh, actually, I took a guitar home.
Oh, okay.
We heard that the Salvation Army was selling off their old instruments. So we thought, well, that sounds like...
Come and join us.
Yeah, so we thought, that sounds like a plan. So we got a drum kit, which was the equivalent probably of about £1.50 in today's money.
Yeah.
And a bass guitar and two electric guitars. So I grabbed the guitar and took it home, thinking, okay, I'm a guitarist, you know. I wasn't really bothered. I was in a band. That was the main thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and they said, rehearsals on Friday, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay, great, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
So every night I would go in my lounge and sit with this guitar out of tune and not know I don't know what I expected to happen. I thought it would come to me. Yeah, but it didn't really happen. It didn't really come to me, you know. So we got together for the rehearsal, and I sat on the stage, and they said, go on then, play. And I just said, I can't play. And they went, you know, they He took it off me and started playing chords. And I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, these are chords, man, you know. I went, well, show me, show me.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, when you first pick a guitar up, and even when somebody tells you what to do, your fingers are going under the strings, and it's going click, click, and buzzing. And then one of my best mate took it off me and went, you rubbish.
And he failed the audition then.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So then he took a pair of sticks, drumsticks, out of his back pocket, and he said, you're the drummer. I went, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was your initiation ceremony, yeah?
That was, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it's quite interesting how these things happen. You know, yours was more by accident than design, and you were just telling me about the snare drum story. And your dad trying to make as much noise as possible to annoy the neighbours. I always remember the late Ken Dodd, one of his key kind of jokes was he'd come on, you know, sporting a big Salvation Army kind of drum, and he would be saying, you know, come and join us, and then he'd start singing Silent Night. And so the good thing about a drum is that you'd always know what time of day it is. He says it could be in the middle of the night, he just hang your drum out the window, give it a good banging, and somebody's bound to say, who's banging that drum at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, exactly.
So there you are.
I've been annoying neighbours ever since, really.
Yeah, so that was your first, the Road Runners was your first kind of experience with music live.
Yeah.
And then you took it seriously after that, I guess, did you? I mean, when you got the drums.
Yeah, I basically went to watch every drummer I could in the area.
Yeah.
And just studied what they were playing, and then I would go home and try and remember what they'd played and figure out how to play that.
Yeah.
And then I found out that if you put your finger on the vinyl, on the record player, you could make the drums somehow sound a bit louder. It did on my system anyway.
Yeah.
And I could hear what Tom Tommy was hitting and what his foot was doing.
Yeah.
And I basically self-taught. Yeah. I figured it all out like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's more power to your elbow, as the saying goes, when you can play it.
Two elbows.
Yeah.
Two elbows.
And two knees as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They get pretty busy, don't they, the old knees when you're...
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do.
So when did you start playing with David Bowie?
Well, I eventually joined this band that I'd seen, the Roadrunners.
Yes.
There was a band in Yorkshire, in Hull, called The Rats, and they were kind of the band in the area.
Yeah.
And the lead guitarist in that band was Mick Ronson.
Yep.
So we both ended up playing on it was when open air festivals were the in thing.
Yeah.
So he'd come to watch me.
Yeah.
And I went to watch him. We'd never met, but we watched each other. And then a few months later, I was working in a factory, and the whole band, the Rats, walked in one Sunday when I was doing overtime and just said, all right, I looked up for my lathe, this guy just said, I'm Mick Ronson. I said, yeah, I know. He said, and this is the Rats. I said, yeah, I know. He said, we want you to be our drummer.
Yeah.
So that was a big... a big step for me working in that was the band,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and then the drummer that I'd replaced was probably the first one musician to leave Hull and go down to London to make it.
Yeah.
You know, because in those days the consideration was you couldn't really make it from Manchester. And the Beatles had left Liverpool to do it, so. And he joined a band that was doing kind of demos for David Bowie. He was, at the time, trying to make the move from being a folk guitarist to more a more rocky band.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working out with the guitarist, so the drummer said, well, I know this guitarist in Hull called Mick Ronson.
Yeah.
So Mick left the Rats and went to London.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, David called me and said, look, Mick says you're really good. And you'd fit in with us.
Yeah.
I've got a flat in Beckenham in Kent.
Yeah.
Called Haddon Hall, and we're all going to live there. You don't have to worry about food and rent.
Yeah.
And we're going to do an album.
Yeah.
So that was it, really.
Yeah, and what was the title of that album, that first album?
That was The Man Who Sold the World.
The Man Who Sold the World, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah. So that, would that be sort of like the high point for you, or presumably not? I mean, that was just the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was just the beginning. I mean, it was a high point as far as it's the first time I'd been in a real professional London recording studio to do an album, and it was with the bass player and producer, was Tony Visconti, who'd done bands like The Move and T-Rex, and he'd done that, so it was like, okay, it's a bit nerve-wracking as well, you know.
You'd feel like the new boy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But it was good, it was a good experience, and then we moved on to the album Hunky Dory, and then Ziggy Stardust, and then Aladdin Sane after that.
Yeah, so that was the end of your association with David Bowie, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of moved on to other things? And
I went on to Art Garfunkel. I played with him for a few years.
Oh, right, yeah.
Edgar Winter. Dixie's Midnight Runners for a little bit.
Oh, did you? Oh, right.
So, been around, you know. Anybody that's got neighbours they want to annoy, they just seem to give me a call, you know.
Well, have drums, will travel and annoy. So, you've got this tour coming off, what's it called? The name of your
group? Holy Holy.
Holy Holy, yes. When's that name from?
That was a single that David released just prior to us joining him, which didn't really make it, but we always liked the name, so it was like, oh, that's a good band name, we'll have that.
So we'll have that, yes.
Because we're an unholy bunch, you know what I mean?
Yes, it's like the very opposite of what you are, yes, I understand.
Exactly.
So you're around our way, we're in kind of Cotswolds, Cheltenham, that neck of the woods, nearest to us, Birmingham, Wednesday the 13th at the Town Hall, Cardiff.
Yeah.
Also Cardiff, Bexhill, Guildford, London, Manchester, Leamington Spa, not too many miles away from us, Saturday 23rd of Feb. So you've got a little tour that you're getting it all together then at the moment?
We've done kind of two American tours and about three English ones and Japan and a bit in Europe. So it only takes us about a couple of days really.
Just to kick
it all into shape again, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, Woody. I'm sure we could have had a good giggle.
We could.
A lot longer. But I do appreciate very much the opportunity to speak to a legend.
Well, thank you very much.
And at some point in the future, you never know, we might get a face-to-face, and perhaps I can call you again sometime.
Yeah, that would be cool. Okay. I'd like that.
Woody, thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.